Wow. I'm a little overwhelmed. KB, I saw your text and you're here. Now, again, I want you to see certain people. This young man, we were in San Antonio. He was walking across a parking lot acting like a fool. And Pam said, you need to go lead that young man to the Lord. Here he is now. Let's thank God for that. And what I said first, KB, was he is crazy as a bat. I'm surprised his last name is not Pierce. Now, just a blessing for all of y'all. And that was so honoring. And through the years, you know, it's been just amazing to journey throughout the years. And this year, I want to say in 2020, in March of 2020, the Lord changed my journey. Daniel and Amber returned, the kids, and our journey started changing. And it's been quite a shift. And I realized there was a lot of things I still had not accomplished and finished. I realized there were a lot of things I had really slighted over my earlier journey. And part of that was my kids and my children and my children's children. And it was as if the Lord said, I want you to sit and refocus your path ahead. And I've done that. And it's been a joy to see all of my, I had one promise. And that promise was, other than the one the Lord spoke to me and said, I can restore the years the cankerworm has eaten away. And I can restore all that you've lost. That's what's driven me for 18 years, since I was 18 years old. And then my other promise was, all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace of your children. Not that my children would all end up doing what I do, but they would be whole doing what they were meant to do. What Dutch said and what Keith said was very touching for me because you have to find your purpose. You have to find why you're here. You have to find what your role is. My role is not the same as what Jimmy Evans' role is, or my role is not the same as what Stella's role is. But once you know your role and you allow a person to be who they are called to be, they can help you. And as long as you don't try to make me the pastor you want, that isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says, I give you the pastor after my own heart. And God puts certain people in your life because he knows what it takes for you to be what you are called to be. And it doesn't mean those people change to make you happy. They're there to help you become. Now, I want you to look at somebody and say, all we care about is that you end up becoming. Now, I want to share some things quickly today. We are also sending a group to an international convocation of nations that they will be demonstrating and learning from the demonstration of the creativity of nations. That's quite a group of people that's going so that our worship can go forward in a new way in the coming year. So I send this team to accomplish that for us as we advance into the season ahead. Now, I want to remind you what this year is about. This year is about the war for divine recovery. Now, everyone say divine recovery. That means you're coming back and regaining all of what got lost in one season so you can be propelled into the future in another season. And so, but the warfare is great over it. And then the next thing you want to understand is that God has an order for recovery, restoration, prosperity, and breakthrough. He has an order for that to happen in each one of us. But His glory must be recognized. Now, I want to begin, since you have so greatly honored me today, by saying what happened to me was God revealed His glory to me. It happened when I was 18. That happened when I was 26. That has happened to me several times, to the point where I can only be motivated by His glory. And that is the only thing that motivates me. In that process, God began Pam and I on a journey because of a severe situation I went through in my own life where He got my attention when I went blind. He asked me, would I be willing to follow Him and give up everything as His disciples were to follow Him? And He said, this is not an easy journey. He said, and He told His disciples the same thing. Therefore, through my life, I have learned to let go. Because the only thing I want to end with is the fullness of His glory. Now, in that, I have had many assignments from the Lord. Many, many assignments. The last assignment I have had from the Lord was Him moving us to this place and Him telling me to create a model of an apostolic center and also divinely recover this entire place. Now, in the process of that, this place is not my identity. Now, as long as you know that, this place has that glory realm He put in me, imparted into it. But it also has the unlocking of so many of thousands that have journeyed onto my path, also having the glory in them unlocked in it. And that's what the place really reflects. And all I know is my assignment. And if I wanted to experience a greater glory, I had to complete this assignment. And that becomes very important in your process at every signpost you run into. Now, some way, the world has determined that your 70th birthday is a signpost. And I don't know why it's any different than your 71st birthday. But there is something about it because of the biblical numerics that are linked with it. 7 times 10. It means there's completion of a testimony that has occurred that people can see. And so this 70th year that I have entered into is a completion of a testimony that people can see. I am sure I could have done many things better, but I am not prone to condemnation. And I am not prone to a lot of regret. I just am prone to keep journeying with the Lord. All right? And so I keep saying, yeah, I could have probably done a lot of things. I could have been more efficient in lots of areas. I could have excelled in certain things, but I will tell you, since I was 18, I have sought the Lord daily. And most days, I am fully submitted to Him. And in that process, He gave me my helpmate. And that's really what a spouse is. It's not that everybody has to have a spouse. He knew I needed one. Miss Pierce, please stand up one more time. You've looked good for 2 weeks. If you could have seen her yesterday after working out in the yard all day. And he knew what I needed to complete what he was doing in me. That's what a spouse does. And vice versa. And so with that, we share the dimension of glory that brings us together as one. And that's really how he decided to display what is called Global Sphere Center. But he said, start with her glory that motivates her first. That's why you have the garden. Because that's how God would have started. I don't know that I would have started that way. But God started that way. Let's thank God that he knows better than us. Now, to accomplish what Dutch said, there is a presence and glory war. And I want to just go over a few things with you today, and then we're going to send you out on this very special day of honor. See, honor is a part of glory. When a person is honored, they have to wear what we just saw. That's a good way of understanding glory. Everything that was said and done, I have to wear it. And that is why the word glory is linked with weight. Because it becomes weighty to wear that honor that God puts on you. All right? Now, with that, here's what the war is over. The war is over life and wholeness. I came that you might have and enjoy life in all of its abundance. See, you're going to find two scriptures very important for you. I came that you might have life and enjoy it in all its abundance. And then over in 1 John, he said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. Now put those two scriptures together. I came that you might have life and enjoy it, not just have it, but enjoy it in all of its fullness. And I came to destroy the works of the devil. In that, in this passage, he combines both of those thought processes for us. I came that you might enjoy life and have it in abundance, running over, no boundaries, having it flowing through you in ways that only you can experience it. And the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy what you were meant to enjoy. And if he came for us to enjoy life, there's these five things you want, these four things I want you to understand. Life is in your blood. The Bible says that. It's running through your veins right now. But what the mystery is, he has allowed his spirit to inhabit your blood. The God, the third person of the Godhead has decided to run through your blood. That's what Hebrews chapter 9 says. If you ever get a revelation of that, you're going to do cartwheels, even if you can't do cartwheels. And every time you allow His Spirit to be loose in your blood, He unlocks the glory that Psalm 16 and Psalms 139 says that was knit inside of you by Him that gave you a uniqueness that nobody else on earth can display. You carry a glory dimension that no one else can reveal. No one else can reveal to the world. And the glory must be displayed in your garden. Because that's how He started us. He planted a garden and put you in it. And until you get the garden that you're a part of, now your garden might be right downtown in one of the major cities. But until you get your garden and how the glory has to be displayed in it, you're really not getting your purpose. Now, Father, we ask You right now for this glory realm in us to be unlocked. Now, with that, this is what happened when Daniel and Amber and the team took me out on that boat. This was the island that changed the course of America 400 and something years ago, and it's still changing the course of America. But when I looked at it, I saw the glory. Now, you can only see the glory if you've experienced the glory. Go ahead, Brian. And that's what it looked like. I did not see that island the way they took a picture of it. It looked like this because God said, this piece of land changed the glory realm of the world. That was the island where everyone that would come that Africa had sold into slavery to be resold into slavery, and that's exactly how it worked. They were sold into slavery to be profited upon and resold into slavery. And the Lord said, this is what I was overseeing when that happened. He said, I already had a glory plan in it. It was going to be stormy. It was going to be lightning bolts, and it was going to be cloudy, but those who wanted to endure it could experience the glory. Now, you can say, well, that sort of summarizes my life. All right. Now, let's talk about understanding His glory, because this is a year of kingdom war and the kingdom violent pursuers are arising. That means the glory in us is coming alive. That means that thing that He had planned, overseeing your life. Now, instead of that lightning just being in the distance, get ready, it is about to strike you. And it's going to cause such incredible change. Now, let's understand this concept of the use of his glory. See, when you study the word, it's linked with numerous words. I could list 20 words, but I don't think you would get it that way. It's linked with wealth and possession. See, he is the God. It's the word of God calls our God this. He is the God of, he's the possessor of heaven and earth. And glory is wealth and possession. It's that which gives honor and distinction to a person. It might be material or it might be spiritual. It might be both. But every expression of wealth and possession is an expression of glory. It's linked with majesty, dignity, and splendor of a person. We just saw that displayed here. It's a form in which God himself, Jehovah Yahweh, reveals who he is through signs, manifestations, wonders, and presentation of his presence and being. That's why you can be at a totally secular event and see his glory. It's not something that just happens in church. But in church, when we come together, all you're doing is putting that glory rim in you. You're hooking it on all these rows here. And if we ever let it go, it's going to blow the ceiling off the sucker. It's going to blow the roof off. It's how, now, this is how it applies to you. How you model after the greatest glory realm you know determines your human dignity, majesty, and your glory. See, you've got to understand the object of your faith is going to be a part of the display of your glory. That's why I'm going to go on past Buddha. That's why I'm going to go on past whoever was Hindu. Because they all died. And they had a glory and a dignity about them and have thousands upon thousands of followers. But that's not good enough for me. Because I met someone who demonstrated his glory to me. And I've got to go past something that has already died. Does that make sense? If anybody asks you, don't get into all those theological things with them, which I could. I'm smart and well-read and very gifted. But I just said, I'm going past somebody who's already died and didn't come back. I'm going on into somebody that they have record that he died and he rose again and stayed around long enough to have it recorded, and hundreds saw him, and I'm just going to go on up with him.
Somebody shout!
I'm going to go all the way past white, because he wasn't white. I'm going to go all the way past black because he wasn't black. I'm going to go all the way past brown and yellow and red, because he was none of that except man means red. So there was something in that redness that's got good about it. And I'm going to go on in to his color, which is glory. It shines, it radiates, it's bright, and it causes every color to light up.
Say, arise and shine! Arise and shine! Hallelujah!
That's how simple all that is. That's how simple it is. Now, let me just go over these right quick with you. I want you to hear them, then Robert can teach on them. Here's how to embrace the glory realm. God planted a garden, and each element in that garden he planted had a glory realm about it. Now, I'm going to have to say that again, because I hear everybody complaining about this. Why did God put Satan in the garden? He had a glory realm about him. He was cast down and created confusion because he misused his ability with wealth and sound and tried to exalt his wealth and his sound above the one who created it. You'll get in a mess too if you do that. So he got cast down and had already created a mess before God ever planted the garden. And all God did as he was adding into that garden was, he said, that mess that has created this mess, I'm going to put it in this boundary. And he's going to some way find this one animal called serpent and inhabit him. And man's going to be my representative to rule over that serpent. Number two. Man was given the assignment to walk in glory. That is your assignment. It's just to walk in glory. He put man in the garden. He said, listen, it's full of glory. He had man name all the animals. He had man know every plant. And he even had man name serpent. So man knew what serpent was capable of. And then he said, now man, you are to walk in this glory realm, and after each element that I put in your atmosphere and in your ground that you're walking on, and you need to multiply it, apply it, and cultivate it. Lucifer was embodied in the serpent to help man understand the war against God's glory plan. And here's how simple a curse works. A curse is going to always begin. Now remember, the glory's in your blood. A curse is always going to begin when we agree in our blood line with a voice that diminishes the glory that we are to maintain. Anytime your bloodline agrees with that, that diminishes the glory that your bloodline was meant to have, a curse is working. And what a curse is longing to do is to take over your whole garden. This is how simple it is. But you have to always remember, God said it's your garden. He planted you a garden. He put you in it, and he said, this is yours. Pam looked down at that place out there, said, that's the most desolate mess I've ever seen. I looked at her and said, it's yours, baby. Now, when you walk through that garden, the glory in her, some way she got it moving into the land. You can be selfish with your glory. You can be haughty with your glory. Or you can just give it away everywhere you go. When it gets taken from you, you say, now, Lord, that enemy found a way to take that, but I'm getting it back. You can whine the rest of your life, or you can say, I want it all back. I want it all back.
Everything that you took from me, I want it.
That's how simple it is. I didn't get a portion of mine back till I gave Daniel and Amber that brand at Pentecost. It doesn't have to come back the same way you lost it. You just want it back. You want something hooked with your blood to have it back.
Somebody say, give me my stuff back.
Now, here's something else. Our call is to divine recovery. Put your hand on somebody and say, I'm sending you again. That's only going to come by you seeing his glory in you and out of you. Now, here's something that you have to understand, because this is really the first mention of the dynamic of his glory, and it comes when Moses said, I'll go anywhere you lead me, but I want you to show me your glory. And the Lord said, ooh, you're only going to be able to see my back end. Because if you saw all of me, it would be overwhelming. You know what that means? He is all-encompassing. He is beyond you. He is beyond America. He is beyond anything you can imagine or think. And just like he told Moses, you better only want to see his hip if that's all he's showing you. Because he is over it all. Now, the more you get to know his glory, the more you see he's over it all. We don't, because of the journey he put us on in 1976, we don't have anything. Because we've grabbed hold of him and we realize only thing we really want is for the glory that he has expressed to us, whether it be through our children, through you, through a place, to carry on. I have nothing today that I would hold on to, because His glory is so much greater. That's why when on the third time when He told me, you're going to give up everything you have, in 2001, when we came back here and from Colorado, and I wasn't happy about doing it, by July of 2002, I was almost dead. That shows you how life-giving His glory is. I gave it up. And I told the Lord that. I gave it up. And He said, yes, you did, but you did it out of obligation, and you didn't do it with any joy. And look at you now. Laying on the floor, dying. See, His glory in your blood is life. I called the elders, Robert, Linda, Leanne, and I said, God showed me my problem. Showed me why I'm dying. Because they were about to give up. I'd had people pray around the clock for 4 days for me. And then I was worse off after they finished praying. And Brian said, you want me to start the chain again? I said, you've already prayed it. Heck, if that ain't working, it's no need praying it again. I called Robert, Linda, Leanne. They came over with me laying on the floor. I said, God showed me my problem. I said, I remember all that I gave to get us back on track. I gave that without joy. And Robert said, well, it brought me great happiness. And you know what? Him saying that broke something in me. He said, you might be dying, but I'm happy today. What he was really saying, if you've got anything else left, cough it up while I'm here. And they prayed. And you know what? God raised me up. But I had to confess my sin to them. And the Lord said, why if I, everything I have, my glory is imbibed in it, why are you trying to not rejoice with all of it? You're going to have to answer that for your own self. I did. We've got to learn to follow His glory. Now, this is a hard thing for us. And it's all through the Word of God. Robert can teach on this. Robert, remember this one. Because He chooses to change how He manifests His glory. He chooses the vehicles that change. That's why you have record of three tabernacles and temples. He chooses the human leadership for a season that changes. And what makes a true leader, spiritual leader, is this. That spiritual leader has a desire that he must never lose to prioritize the Lord's glory. See, Saul didn't have that. It's not because Saul was more handsome than David. Saul was the most handsome person in the whole, all of Israel. Gifted, brilliant, but he didn't prioritize God's glory right. That's the greatest danger for a leader. Where David, adulterer, murderer, did all sorts of bad stuff. He prioritized the glory. That's a big difference. And then spiritual leaders must recognize the law of governance around his glory and not create their own administration. And they can't create their own movement either. See, that's why this was honoring today. It was about a movement that was worldwide. I just have been honored to be a part of it. What Isaac might create, my son, or Daniel might create, I'm just honored to be a part of it. What James might do, I'm honored to be a part of it. I am a part of what Chad does because he takes all my stuff. Now, here's something else. I mean, had him order me shoes. Yeah, here we go. I just have to stop for a moment. Had him order me shoes. Me and Brian shoes, because I wanted Brian to have some new shoes. He hadn't had any for 10 years that I knew of. And had him order some. And ours, we got two packages. He came in and he said, y'all's were on back order. Those are mine. What is that? We're still waiting for ours. That made it past Christmas, Passover, Easter, whatever you want to call it, and my birthday, and we're still waiting on them. And he looked good yesterday at that wedding. Now, but you know what? That's still part of glory. When he sent that picture to me, after raiding my closet, and what he and Alaric look like, that's glory. Now, I want you to hear that. You will display that glory realm that you are. Now, I'm going to say that. You might want to write it down. You will display that glory realm that you are. You did it very well yesterday. Let's thank God for Chad. See, I was proud of him. Now, spiritual leaders, if you ever want to be one, must know that there is a great bloody sacrifice and war related to his glory. See, here's the thing with David. David tried to create his own administration to bring the ark back into Jerusalem. Didn't work out for him. It will never work out for you. Uzzah died because of it. God postponed the movement because of it. Just because he wanted to administrate it the way he wanted to administrate it, because it was easier to bring it in on a cart than to find the seven people to carry that ark as God required, and then every 6 feet stop and kill a cow. Expensive, bloody, and slow, but needed to be learned properly. I better say that again. Your walk might be expensive, bloody, and you're gonna have to get patient in the journey of it to get where God's trying to get you to. Most spiritual leaders can't do this. It's not easy. So be careful how you judge all of us. It's not easy. And remember David, it wasn't easy. He didn't want to go to war, so he decided to stay in his bedroom, look at Bathsheba, who was beautiful, and decided to commit adultery rather than going to war. It's easy to do that. So be careful of your judgments. Let God create the consequence that He needs to create. And David rebounded for it. He came on through it. Let me end with this. Go ahead, Brian. You're going to have to recognize that rejection is part of the test related to being a glory receptacle. The world doesn't like your glory, people. And let me say this to you. Religion hates it. David's own wife didn't like it when he got the ark finally back in place. And she had a lot going for her. She was beautiful. He didn't get rid of her. She just never had any children. Judas hated it because Mary decided to waste her possessions by pouring it out on the Lord. Hated it. Hated the waste that Mary displayed to release a greater glory in the future. It's what exposed him. You hate somebody who is enjoying and using what they've been given for certain things. And I've had a lot. When we took that land out north, and I don't know any other reason God gave it to us other than to display Passover celebration to the whole world. 1 week cost $1 million. And that was how many years ago? It changed the course of the church. But if you think it wasn't without lots of people hating it, because you could have always used that for the poor. Yeah, but I didn't want my wife to sit in one of those porter potties that thank you, Elaine, better say it out loud again. One of those porter potties that the construction men use on the highway, so I got a better one. Cadillac, wasn't it, honey? Yeah. Elaine, you better stand up and say, I liked it. Say, it's my type of bathroom. Now, here's one more thing. One of the biggest explanations of glory is when King Uzziah died. Now, every political person that you see raised into prominence has a glory about them. And if you don't get that, you're going to find yourself messed up. But not all of them use their glory properly. And one way to see the move of glory in the world is to watch for God's glory events through the political mistakes of leaders. In the year that King Uzziah died, because he did something stupid and he was a good king, I saw the Lord. I saw the grandness of the Lord and how no government was really in rule without him being over it. That's what that passage is about. There comes a moment where your authority and the glory that's flowing through your blood has to manifest. If you're saved, there comes a moment. Yeshua said it this way to his mother when they ran out of wine. She said, "They've run out of wine." He said, "What's that got to do with me?" Some way or another, she knew it's time. And father knew it was time. And all of a sudden, son obeyed. And what he did, the word of God said, he did it to display his glory and cause those that were going to come with him over the next 3 years to believe. Another thing you want to know about the glory, it threatens all political religious realms. That's why the Lord said, "Beware of the Herodians, beware of the Pharisees." Doesn't mean that all political realms reject it. It just threatens them all. Beware. That's what the Lord said. Beware of it. You might have one, like in the days of Joseph, that grabs hold of it. But in the process of time, a new Pharaoh arose. Always remember that. That isn't what's making the world turn. And then finally, one of my favorite verses. It says it in Hebrews. Glory has the final say. I want you to stand up. Glory has the final say. That doctor doesn't have the final say. That president doesn't have the final say. Your boss doesn't have the final say. Glory has the final say. Shout it out. That apostle doesn't have the final say. Glory has the final say. Shout it out again. Your hands up and say, "Glory has the final say over my life. Glory has the final say over my family. Glory has the final say over my bank account." Put your hands on somebody and say, "Glory's got the final say in your life." Glory has the final say. Michelle, bring that mic over here. Just sing that over us. Glory has the final say over you.
Glory has the final say over you and you and you.
Nobody says glory has the final say.
No matter what else anybody has to say about it, glory, glory has the final say.
No matter what sickness is whispering in your ear, glory has the final say.
No matter what sickness is whispering in your ear, glory has the final say.
Pick up your purse, pick up your wallet, pick up your checkbook, and say, glory's got the final say over you.
Glory's got the final say over my finances.
Washington, D.C., and say, glory's got the final say.
From the White House to the outhouse, glory has the final say.
Kuki and Rebecca, stand up here. Glory's got the final say on that strip joint. Greg, glory's got the final say in Kingdom University. Somebody and say, I see it all over you. Glory's got the final say over you. Point at these instruments and say, glory's got the final say. I send you forth with the glory in you, rising up with a voice that speaks. And I say that glory voice in you will be heard. Give a shout.
That's right. I just wanted to
put that screen back up.
This is something that Chuck, when I was standing over there that Sunday, he parted up and he said, Raven, I want to wear that. That's glory and I want to wear it. And we went and I got the image from there and we had the shirt made in London. And so I just wanted to give this to you, to honor you with it and say, this is a confirmation. You will wear the glory. Your bloodline is going to be blessed. Your spiritual bloodline, your physical, your biological bloodline, your kids will rise up and bless you over and over and over. In Jesus' name.
Look at that. It's it. The glory's in your DNA. Wear the glory out of here. Every place your foot steps, you decree the glory that's coming down through your feet. That glory will have the final say. Now turn to three people and say, we rejoice in this week in the glory.
I just wanted to add, when you said glory, I was thinking, but it's limitless glory. Because remember the t-shirt?
Listen to this. This is a new anointing to wear out of here.
I just remembered years ago, I developed a message called Limitless Glory, but it was because I was walking down the streets in Jerusalem and I saw an Orthodox, you know, black hat and everything, man wearing a t-shirt that said Limitless Glory.
Shout, not only am I walking in the glory, I'm walking in the limitless glory. Now, David, the Lord says, walk in the glory that's in you. Wait, where's Jane? Jane, come out. out here. Amber, come out here with Jane. Now listen, I've got some awesome daughters. Put your hand on her. Jane, the Lord says, you are filled with my glory. You are clearing a new development of glory within you. Quit trying to move too quickly while I form this new glory. You have brought forth glory before, but you are never seen this which you're about to bring forth. Let me form it, wait for it, and let it prosper in ways you never thought you could prosper in days ahead. Give a shout, put your hand on somebody. Greg, you and Joanne, stand up here. The Lord says the kingdom is filled with my glory, and you are gonna loose glory in every syllable that you utter in days ahead. And the Lord says you're gonna expound on my glory through everything that needs to be expounded on, and the mysteries of my word. I am giving you keys to unlock them. Don't teach everything you've taught. Unlock the mysteries and bring forth my glory, saith the Lord. Put your hand on somebody. Tell them, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, point your hand at Chad's feet. The one thing I gotta say is, he says, I'm gonna walk in what God told me to walk in. Let me walk it out and I'll get yours later. That's the way you need to go forward today. Walk it out and you'll be able to bring somebody what they need in days ahead. I send you forth. Glory!